up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the FanCast Movies Podcast. My name is Eric Davis. I am in a totally radical mood today, feeling really boss, really hip and hopping to the hip, hip, hopping, and you don't stop. If you can't tell, it's an 80s week. And that's my co-host, Sean O'Connell. Let me welcome him in, laughing in the background. But you know, Sean, I'm feeling like totally retro. I should have a list of 80s buzzwords right now to keep throwing out. But it is a totally radical 80s week because we have three tubular movies. I don't think tubular. There's a good one.
That's an 80s word.
Tubular. I don't think we've ever had this many 80s remakes opening up in one weekend. We have three of them.
Yeah, it's really strange. And I doubt that this was planned. I mean, two of them are clearly aimed at the Valentine's Day crowds, Endless Love and About Last Night, and then even Winter's Tale, which is not the 80s remake, but we have three potentially, you know, romance-angled things that are going to drive couples into theaters, and then RoboCop, which is just the action remake that I guess is counter-programming to the Valentine's Day that, you know, bromance, the bromance movie where dudes are going to go check out RoboCop and see if it's worth their money and if it lives up to the 1987 original. So
exactly. And if you haven't been able to tell yet, this is a podcast about movies. My name is Eric Davis. That's Sean O'Connell. And we talk about movies. And this podcast is, you can listen to it on Fandango.com, on Movies.com, and on Audioboo. Thank you, Audioboo, for hosting this audio. And Sean, so we're going to talk about the movies coming out this weekend because we've got four wide releases. I only went back a couple of years, but this is one of the more heavily occupied Valentine's Day, President's Day, holiday weekends that we've seen in a while. Four wide releases opening up this week. RoboCop opened up on Wednesday. We're going to talk about all of those movies.
Have we gotten to a stage where 90s movies have been remade yet, or are we not there yet?
I think we're starting to creep in there, where there have been some – I feel like there's been a couple of 90s remakes.
Okay.
And we'll get there. We're slowly making our way to the
90s. Well, that's what's going to be really weird. Like, when that starts happening, that's going to be Red Dawn, that was an 80s one too.
Yeah.
You're right. There has to be some.
Yeah, I watched Richard Linklater's Boyhood at Sundance, and that movie is a movie that's got so much old-school music in it that reminds me of, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, and, like, I'm just waiting – I'd rather see movies set in the early 90s, in the 90s, mid-90s, than remakes. But, I mean, I guess eventually we'll get to, like, American Pie.
Ugh.
Or, you know – but, you know, there's something about the 90s – where the movies were so 90s that it's hard to extract the 90s out of them in order to remake them today.
Well, but wouldn't you say that about the 80s, though, too? I mean, that's such a visual style.
To a certain degree. But, like, you look at the movies this weekend, like About Last Night, Endless Love, even RoboCop. Like, those are all movies that make sense as remakes in today. And you can, you know, bring them up into contemporary times, and they still make sense. But then you take movies like There's Something About Mary. Like, you take the biggest movies of the 90s that Hollywood would want to remake, and they're just so 90s.
Right. Yeah, and it's the music, and it's the grungy attitude about it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like Singles. Like, could you remake Singles?
No, it would have to take place in a different atmosphere.
Yeah, it's so 90s. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We are going to talk about remakes today. Oh, this entire episode is going to be about remakes. We're going to talk about the remakes arriving in theaters. But first, we want to talk about two things. We decided we're going to do one movie that should never be remade.
Right.
And like, then
like
one movie.
If we heard, this is the movie where we're drawing a line in the sand. If we heard that Hollywood wanted to remake this, we would take a blowtorch to the industry. Because literally nothing is sacred at this point. We've gotten to the point where they've remade Psycho. And I mean, that should have been the straw that broke the camel's back. But it just feels like nothing's really sacred anymore. But there still has to be at least one title that you and I can name that if they decided they were going to remake it, that would be it.
And on the flip side, a movie that, you know what, we could actually go for a remake about now. It's time. Let's see a remake. Let's see a new take in this era of this movie. And, you know, it's not so much that I'm not against remakes at all. I think some remakes are great. But I think that it's the lazy remakes. It's the remakes where they just take the title because they want it to be the title and are just lazy about it. You know, like Total Recall. I wasn't crazy about Total Recall remake.
Nobody is.
No.
You know what? Here's something funny. I never saw that when it was in the theaters, and I have DVR'd it on my television from cable. It's on one of the cable channels. I've DVR'd it twice, and each time I just sit there and I look at it and I think I'm going to watch it tonight, and I can't get myself to watch it because I've heard such mediocre things about it. I guess that's part of the problem.
Yeah, and it's hard because especially with you know, when we get into these remakes of cult films, RoboCop is another one of them.
Yeah,
it's hard because we have so many great memories tied to these originals, and it's not even that they were great movies. Like the first Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's not like that was like a phenomenal movie. It's not Psycho. But we have this connection to it that, you know what, if you're going to remake it, then you really have to take it to the next level just so to get us away from that connection to the original that we have. I think RoboCop is more successful than the Total Recall remake, but we'll get there. So first, tell me your movie that they can never remake, and if they remake it, that's it, you're out.
Well, and this would be my answer no matter what, but the fact that it turns 40 this year, this is an anniversary year for it. But mine is Chinatown.
Chinatown.
Roman Polanski's movie Chinatown, which is just, to me, the seminal, you know, private investigator film noir film. And you know, people can go back to Humphrey Bogart, I guess, if they want to, and his films that he made in black and white in the 40s, and I get that. But for me, like, that was the film where I watched it and it just opened up my eyes to the amount of things that a director can do with cinema. And I go back and revisit it often, and the screenplay to it is such an interlocking piece of, you know, like a mystery that just keeps sort of unraveling. And with each new level that gets exposed, it turns you in new different directions, and it's a tremendous Nicholson performance. And if I heard that they were going to try and redo it with, you know, Channing Tatum and McAdams.
Don't even say that.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, and you could make these noir-ish films. Hollywood has not shied away from them. And, I mean, L.A. Confidential is a tremendous movie. You know, Gangster Squad was an interesting experiment. But I'm just afraid that someone's going to try to make a story set in that time and tapped into – and it really tapped into the drought in California and how important that water was to that region. And it had a lot of really interesting things to say. I'm afraid that they're going to try and redo that and just put the name Chinatown on it because, you know, people are familiar with it. Even when they went back and tried to do the two Jakes – they realize that the magic just isn't there anymore. And so that's the title to me where if I heard that they were going to try to do Chinatown, I think that I would just be so beyond furious. I might leave the industry because I just wouldn't want to cover something that thought they can get away with that.
What if Polanski said he would remake it himself? I don't think he would ever do that.
Well, the answer to that is you've already done it.
Yeah.
You know, I at least understood when they wanted to remake Psycho, which is crazy, but at least they wanted to do it as an experiment of this is a shot-for-shot remake, and we're going to try and see if we can recreate it. I'm still saying it. Shame on everybody who participated in that. But no, Polanski, have him do other things.
No, I completely agree. I think you'd be okay with Chinatown. I think when they're looking at remakes these days, they're looking at films that have fan bases,
right,
existing fan bases, something that – you know, I think if you put Chinatown, a remake of Chinatown out, I don't think it's something that the teens will flock to.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have a built-in audience.
My movie, on the other hand, I feel...
Oh, you should worry about this.
I am worried about it. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. I am and if we're going to talk about, you know, the Chinatown script is well known as one of the best screenplays ever written,
right?
By Robert Town, and this movie also is known for a terrific screenplay. I'm talking about Back to the Future. This is a movie that has been taught. Even people have mentioned it before as, oh, it may be remade, or if there's going to be a sequel, or there's going to be something like that, you know. And I feel like
going to Broadway.
Yeah.
Well, the West End.
Yeah, it's getting a musical. it's approaching. What is it approaching? 30-year anniversary.
2015 it would be.
Yeah, so yeah, 2015, which is the year that they travel to in Back to the Future Part 2. So, I mean, plus we're in a huge wave of time travel movies right now. You know, I think Looper was the success of Looper and sort of kind of catapulted the industry into let's do some cool time travel stuff. Welcome to Tomorrow, the movie that was supposed to come out, I think, like late this month or early next month. It got pushed back.
Right. Yeah,
that's like a found footage time travel movie. And I just know a lot of people are writing time travel stories right now. I think it's probably the only reason Hot Tub Time Machine 2 got a green light is because time travel is just hot right now.
Right.
And so I feel like right now I could see them saying, let's remake Back to the Future. But for all those reasons that I just mentioned, I don't think you need to. You know, when you have a trend that's really hot and people are – you know, churning out original time travel stories, why remake a classic time travel movie? Like, let's enjoy the new stuff that's coming out. And I just don't – it's just a movie that would never make sense to touch. That's like – if we talk about movies that are really very 80s, I feel like that's a film that is very 80s, especially the 1980s parts of it. And it's very – it's tied to the 80s too with Back to the Future 2, and there's a lot of themes in it that are just very 80s centric, and it would be a weird movie to redo now.
Now you would have Zac Efron as Marty McFly.
You would, yeah. You'd have Zac Efron.
He'd be going back to the 80s to go to the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Yeah. And it would be the only interesting thing about a Back to the Future remake now is that, to be honest with you, is somebody going from now to the 80s instead of the 80s to the 50s. That would change it up enough to where it would be too different from the original. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But all they want is the name. They want the name recognition in the title. They want to be able to call something Back to the Future.
I know.
Because it's an excellent title, but B, it just has so much name recognition. But I'm totally with you. Come up with your own original time travel one, because when Zemeckis did that film, I'm not saying it was the most original movie in the world, but he came up with a screenplay and a story and a way to move these characters around and use time travel to a way that really worked to that film's advantage. So we're waiting for someone to come around with another story that's as engaging and original as that still uses time travel.
I mean, even the DeLorean was so 1980s, early 80s. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would they go back in a Prius now? You know?
Yes.
A Toyota Corolla. Like, what? You know, it's just there. There's just so many. The whole franchise is just so intricately tied to the 1980s that, you know, I eat my words from earlier, because that is an 80s movie that you can't pull out of the 80s, I feel. And, you know, as much as they're getting Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd to revisit different characters and celebrate the franchise, I'm happy doing that. I'm happy celebrating the franchise with these guys every few years as they kind of put little things together, little shorts together and what have you. But from there, I just don't see it. I think that's the remake where I kind of throw my cards on the table and say, you know what, I'm out.
All right. So the movie that I think that you can remake, let's transition over to those. I think that Waterworld is a movie that is ripe for a remake.
With Costner.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's an even little interesting twist on it. I'd even give it back to Costner and say, listen, although he didn't direct it. It was Kevin Reynolds, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. It was Kevin Reynolds.
But you would put Costner. Costner's actually – he's trying to have a Costner-sance right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
You know, Jack Ryan, Draft Day, we both said that.
With Jack Ryan. But Draft Day I think is going to do pretty well.
Like Draft Day.
3 Days to Kill. He's got that coming out too.
Yeah, 3 Days to Kill. He's trying to give a Costner-sance right now. But he's just – I think these are roles that aren't roles where we're going to see Costner back in awards contention. That's what I want to see.
Right. Well, so and the thing is, he could do Waterworld again if he wanted to, because his character didn't have to be this young, heroic type of action figure. It could be a weathered guy, you know, who's been out to sea for a long time. I just think that the concept behind that movie, the premise of that movie, set in this future where the polar ice caps have melted.
It's more relevant.
Coverage is about everything with water. It's still a great concept. And the way the technology has improved – the way the filmmaking techniques have improved, although I give it credit for trying to go with a real tangible sense of, you know, shooting at sea, of course, it ballooned their budget. But I've had a conversation similarly about movies that shouldn't be remade with friends before this podcast. And one of them said Jaws, and they're right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great choice because the magic of Jaws is all the things that went into the problems of the production.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, maybe correcting all the problems that went into Waterworld might make the reboot not quite worth watching. But I almost would want to see somebody try and tackle that interesting subject matter and that story with the tools that they have at their ability right now. That's one of the ones I point to and say technology hadn't caught up to the story when they made it, but nowadays I think we're in a different spot, and I'd like to see somebody try and just maybe edit it down. It doesn't have to be as long as it was. The first Waterworld was super long, but I maybe George Miller's going to put that sort of post-apocalyptic storytelling back on if he ever gets that new Mad Max movie in theaters, and then maybe some studio executive will be like, hey, maybe we can try this again, and we've got this property in Waterworld that sort of flopped the first time through, but we can do something with it.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't even have to be Waterworld, but I would like to see a post-apocalyptic type movie that's set on the water.
Yes.
I think that would be a really cool idea, and I think it would be relevant and topical, sort of like the RoboCop remake, which is a little bit more relevant and topical nowadays with drone warfare and whatnot. My movie has been remade a few times. Oh. And I'm gonna go back to the 80s version. The last version of this movie came out in 1985, Brewster's Millions.
Oh, nice.
This is one of my favorite movies of the 80s. This is Richard Pryor and John Candy. And the premise of this, and it's been this is a movie, I think the first one goes way back, I think. The first version of this story, but basically this guy inherits I think in Brewster's Millions he inherits $300 million. But in order to get that money, he has to spend like $30 million of it.
$30 million? I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, in 30 days. And
but there were stipulations.
But there's all these stipulations. Like, yeah, he can't just give it away. He can't do all these things. And I just think that would be a really funny premise to do now. This is the kind of movie where every generation deserves a remake. Because, you know, this version of it was very 80s. And every version of it sort of takes its time period into consideration. And I think right now, in this day and age with the internet and cell phones and it'd have to be crazy amounts of money. I mean,
well, it's a great vehicle for a particular comedian too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think every time they sort of bring it back around, they fashion it around somebody who is really hot at the moment and could work their type of comedy into it. It worked great with Richard Pryor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kevin Hart's hot right now.
Yeah.
Could throw Kevin Hart in a Brewster's Millions remake. But it would be a really funny movie to see.
I'd like to see somebody try and make The Toy. Do you remember The Toy?
Oh, God. That was a weird movie.
It's so racist.
It is so racist. It's like, let's buy Richard Pryor. And so my kid can play with him.
Right.
It's such a weird movie.
But it had a great Jackie Gleason performance in it too, and the way they played off of each other. And there was the maid from Benson who wanted to see Richard Pryor naked all the time.
these are movies that could only exist in the 80s when we didn't care, really.
How did they get away with that movie?
I don't know.
Who pitched that movie and said it was a good idea?
I don't know.
A rich white kid buy a black guy
to be his toy.
Oh my God.
Oh man. That's why we never see that movie on cable. But anyway, let's move on to the remakes of this week.
Yes.
And we'll start with RoboCop. We mentioned RoboCop a few times. I thought it was okay. I think if RoboCop had stayed with its original August release date and we had seen it around that time, it would have had that Total Recall effect. I think it's better than Total Recall, but it would have had that effect of, like, we've just seen so many big movies, one after the other, that this one doesn't do what the others have done to us, and we're just fatigued. But to get it now in the middle of February, where there aren't really any other action movies around, you know, it's not that bad.
Right. I agree with you to a certain extent. And what I liked most about it, I think the effects are much better, obviously,
yeah,
because so much time has passed. The effects are really good, even by today's standards.
To a degree. I wasn't crazy about the Ed 209 stuff. I felt like they looked too computer generated.
I agree with that, but there are parts in this movie where, and this isn't spoilery, but they strip away his robo body to show you, like, how much of him is left.
It was a crazy scene.
I thought that was insane. Like, yeah, that was pretty cool. And it adds a lot of political and social commentary that the first movie didn't necessarily have.
And that's Jose Padilla. I don't know if you've ever seen his Elite Squad films, but they are very heavy, heavy political. And so I feel like that is a lot of him coming through, which I like.
Well, that was great. But my issue with it then, unfortunately, is that a lot of that stuff just gets chucked in favor of this, you know, vengeance story where he has to get back at the guys who essentially killed him or put him in the suit. And I didn't find that stuff nearly as interesting. Like, no. When they ask these much bigger questions of how much safer would we feel if we had these methods of security, you know, that were all mechanical and we weren't putting people in harm's way? I thought those were great questions to ask today. And I thought it gave a really great entrance into the world of RoboCop. And so I stuck with it for about an hour where I was like, this is really, really interesting. And where are we going to go with this? And then I was just disappointed that it went straight for the vengeance sort of angle, which I get they had to sort of answer that. And that really is at the heart of RoboCop, of him figuring out who turned him this way. But I wasn't as happy with the way that was resolved. But in no way is it this train wreck that I think everybody feared it was going to be, where fans were like, stay away from my RoboCop. I think it's without a doubt a story that deserved to be reapproached in 2014.
Yeah, I completely agree. And everything you're saying, I'm agreeing with. I think that it definitely, to a point, it's like, this is a really interesting movie. I'm saying some really interesting things. And then it kind of falls off a little bit. I feel like it's a little bit more emotional than the first one, especially with him dealing with the complexities of being part robot, part human. Mm-hmm. And I liked some of that. But then again, you know, the first one has all these really ridiculous, dirty, seedy, you know, gang members. And the way he's almost killed in the first one is just so much more badass than this one.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, like we
said. Okay, so do you think the PG-13 rating really hurt it?
I didn't necessarily feel
like I needed it to be R, but maybe you're right. Like, maybe some of those things could have been a little bit more intense and might have pulled you into the story a little bit more if it was a little bit more graphic.
Yeah, I don't think it needed to be. I think it was pretty graphic for PG-13, especially in this day and age where we're used to seeing these filmmakers and these studios really stretch the boundaries of the PG-13 rating. We're used to it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the 80s, a lot of these movies were just all R. And these days, most of these movies are PG-13. So we're used to them. I mean, all the Marvel movies, all the superhero movies, you know, none of them are rated R.
Right.
So it's not something that we're like, it needed the R remake. It's just our attachment to the original. You know, it's like, and that's what we had. Circles back to what we said before, is that you just have to remove your attachment to the original out of the equation, and just judge it for its own merits. And it's a decent action movie. It's, you know, you go see it, you're gonna be like, yeah, a decent action movie.
Definitely. Like you said, there's not a lot of that out there right now. The Jack Ryan movie's still playing, but people are sort of ignoring that.
Exactly. We got a few minutes left. Let's touch on the other three. We have About Last Night, Endless Love, Winter's Tale. About Last Night is probably going to be the more comedic of your romance movies. If you're looking for something that's funny and something that's going to make you laugh, you can go see that. If you haven't seen the Lego movie, to be honest with you, the Lego movie is probably the best date movie for this weekend. We did a poll on Fandango where we asked men and women for out of the movies that are in theaters, which do you think is the best date movie for Valentine's Day? The only movie that they had in common was the Lego movie.
That's hysterical.
So that's probably, at the end of the day, it's probably going to be your best date movie this weekend. But if you've seen the Lego movie, out of these three romantic movies, what do you think is the best date movie? Winter's Tale, I heard, is just completely bonkers.
I'm hearing that it's like one of the worst movies ever made, sadly. So I saw Endless Love. So let me talk about that briefly. Endless Love is – it's Say Anything for the next generation. And I got – while I was watching it, I was like, oh, well, you know what? Teenagers nowadays need Say Anything. It's the real pretty smart girl, you know, befriends the cool but socially unacceptable, you know, kid as they graduate high school, and he was going to show her the greatest summer of her life before she leaves for med school. I mean, I swear to God, it's Say Anything.
But her father just doesn't approve.
But the father this time now is played by Bruce Greenwood, and he just, I swear to God, he has the exact same conversations where he says to the kid, like, look, if you really love her, let her go. She has a bright future ahead of her. It's Say Anything. I mean, to the point where, like, there's one point where Alex Pettifer, who plays the kid, is like having a punching bag in his garage, and I'm like, if he starts kickboxing it, then this is just ridiculous but that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's kind of soap opery. It's not nearly as cool.
He doesn't stand out a window at any point and like hold up an iPhone in the air.
Nothing like that.
And it's
extremely predictable, but it's kind of sweet, and the people in it are really pretty and nice, and everyone's fine. It's just, it's nothing special, but I know that like teenagers are going to run to it. It's Nicholas Sparks for teenagers.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're young, I mean, how many kids out there probably are in relationships like this where the parents, you know, aren't crazy about the fact that they're in a relationship for whatever reasons? You know, parents are very overprotective of their children at that age, and if their daughter who's a rising star and about to do really great things with her life gets mixed up, well, I mean, hey, I have a little sister. I watched this. Every guy she dated was a moron, you know, and a loser. And my parents just would freak out over every single guy that she dated.
No offense if you guys are listening to this.
Well, you know, you feel free to take offense. But you know what? I could see it being very extremely relatable to a lot of kids out there. So I guess that's the movie for them to go see. And who is the movie for Winter's Tale? Like people who like fantasy, people who like white horses that fly?
I don't know.
People who like Colin Farrell?
I heard that movie is just bonkers, like you said. I mean, it was a popular book. From everything I'm reading, like people's comments underneath stories about it, they're like, this is a good book. I hope that the movie lives up to the adaptation, but from what I'm hearing, it just doesn't.
Well, go watch trailers. You know, don't listen to us and say, oh, well, these guys said it's, you know, I haven't seen it. So
I'm
not going to tell you to go see it or not go see it. Go watch the trailers. Go read some reviews. Make an educated decision, you know, or just wing it. You know, if you're in the mood for, you know, if you have a date and they're like, I don't want to see the predictable. I don't want to see the comedy. I don't want to see the RoboCop. And they just want to see something crazy.
Just try
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess if anything, you're going to have some fun conversations afterwards.
But at least there's something for everybody out there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Lego Movie do, you know, the best of the box office again, because it just has such a strong hold over audiences at this point.
Do you have a movie that you know, come Valentine's Day night, you're going to sit down with your wife and watch? Like, do you have a movie, like a tradition?
Let me tell you what. Valentine's Day is so far down the radar in our family. My oldest son's birthday is February 15th. Mine is February 17th. And my youngest son is February 19th.
So what's Valentine's Day?
It's the worst planning you've ever seen by any family ever. So my poor wife it's birthday week here. And so Valentine's Day obviously is behind all three of those. If I ever bought her anything for Valentine's Day, she would gut me. We put so much money into like kids' birthdays and all this other stuff that no, Valentine's Day does not register here.
There you go.
Have one?
No, we have nothing. We do not have a Valentine's Day tradition. You know, once you have kids, I think you kind of make it more about, you make it more about the kids, giving them Valentine's stuff, having them make Valentine's cards for their grandparents and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, we're getting pounded with snow right now. So our Valentine's Day is going to be spent shoveling and then crawling up into a ball. We're going to go couple shoveling down our driveway. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, we wanted to leave you on a romantic note.
Yes, as best we could.
But you know what, Sean? We do have to wrap it up. We told you, go to Fandango, watch trailers, listen to this, figure out what you want to go see. There's tons of stuff to go see in movies, movie theaters this weekend. But if you haven't seen the Lego Movie, that's my pick. I say go see that this weekend. Sean O'Connell, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your romantic birthday week.
Thank you.
At your house down in North Carolina. And all of you out there, thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Fancast Movies Podcast. And enjoy your hopefully romantic weekend at the movies. Mm-hmm.